This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We now are several days out from the discovery of Robin Michelle Reiner's bodies in their Brentwood home. Nick Reiner, the 32-year-old son, appeared in court on Wednesday wearing a suicide prevention smock, no shirt, sat quietly behind the glass and waived his right to a speedy arraignment. His attorney, Alan Jackson, called the case very, very complex and asked the public not to jump to conclusions. Meanwhile, a disturbing timeline continues to emerge. The argument at Conan O'Brien's party on Saturday night, the antisocial behavior that unsettled guests, the 4 a.m. hotel check-in to the Pierside in Santa Monica, and the alleged blood-soaked room staff found hours later. And now we're learning new information as we are doing this. TMZ reporting that Nick had been diagnosed with schizophrenia and had been going through a medication adjustment, and that was not working out so well, according to TMZ and according to doctors. But somehow the solution was, well, let's get 24-hour care with the 77-year-old parents and hope for the best. Yeah, so many questions here. Joining me to discuss, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. That right there, let's start with that. The new information that he had been diagnosed with schizophrenia makes sense. Going through medication changes, which happened, that's mm-hmm. That's part of the journey. Oftentimes you can be on medications for so long and then you kind of got to adjust because your body, basically your liver says, this isn't working anymore. And then you have to continue to adjust. It's a lifelong thing. But the fact that we have someone that they knew was spiraling, and I'm talking the doctors, the medical professionals here, they were going through this medication transition that was not working out very well, but yet $70,000 a month, allegedly, according to TMZ, that still didn't buy him a room. That still didn't buy him somewhere that's going to be able to keep him safe from others and safe from himself. Now, this may not have been part of the package to begin with of having a room, but it's kind of mind-blowing that one would be spending that amount of money every single month, and it's still good luck. Robin, I mean, what's your thoughts on this? And it may just be an indictment on the mental health system mm-hmm. that we've already been talking about.
Yeah, and Tony, you've been covering this one really good for us. And the first thing it did when I first actually saw you break this on Facebook a little while ago when I was following you on it was, okay, that's a piece of the puzzle that's now starting to make sense, because mm-hmm. this case so far it's puzzling. And anytime you have a situation like this where, you know, you have addiction, you have issues, you have family, I mean, all the things that we've been seeing, something just wasn't adding up to me yet, because there's still something that should have grabbed or wasn't making sense, because he fit a profile kind of. And we're thinking it might have been just all mental health issues, but now that we're actually getting some more solid data that, yeah, we had a major mental health issue, that's filling in that puzzle piece that says, yeah, now it's starting to make sense. But like you just said, the parts that not making sense, who assessed if they did or didn't, whether he was dangerous or not? And that's really what this came down to. He was clearly a danger to himself, to others, to his environment. And who said it was a good idea to put him under the supervision of his parents? And granted, we're definitely not faulting the victims here in any way.
No.
But there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of issues that need to be explored for any amount of money, whether it's small or large. He was diagnosed with schizophrenia. He was on medication, still adjusting medications. I've known people in my life that you see going through the mental health challenges that they're having, and just minor little things will start tweaking that mindset that people have in dealing with these things. And it's traumatic. And to have him out and about, and especially with drugs involved in his life, you know, mm-hmm. how do you medicate someone and prescribe something when he's also taking drugs?
You can't.
It's a cocktail disaster. And so that's what they're dealing with. And so it's a mess. It's a mess.
It's it's setting itself up for the insanity defense, which I'm sure they're going to be going for. But the reality is there is more than one thing at play here. There is decision-making involved. It's not just he's a helpless victim to schizophrenia. He's actively choosing to use and has been actively choosing to use over the years, even when medicated, even when in good places. He's making that choice. And knowing that with that choice comes these sort of consequences. So I don't want this to, suddenly be what Alan Jackson is going to want to fall back on here. It's like, see, he's just a victim to himself. And there's like, no, there's choices. There is autonomy involved in this whole case. What makes it so insane is the story of Nick Reiner makes sense. It tracks. The schizophrenia diagnosis tracks. It makes sense. All of this makes sense. What makes no sense is what the adults, the grown-ups in the room, the non-schizophrenic folks around him, what they were able to do. And I'm not faulting them. I am saying this is how we handle these things. And the way that society seems to handle these things, whether it's Nick Reiner or the schizophrenic in your life, or anyone's life, we don't have a very sensical way of dealing with any of these sorts of things. That's what it comes down to. I'm not condemning the parents for doing what they did. I'm condemning our society for not going, we need to fix this problem, because the way we're handling it, and this is probably just by the book of how they were able to handle it, because again, he had autonomy, even with schizophrenia. He had autonomy to say, yes, I want to be committed. No, I don't want to be committed. We don't override that unless you have the power of attorney. What was the Britney Spears? What did she have?
The guardianship.
Yeah. Unless you have the guardianship, which you have to move heaven and earth to get, unless you have that, there ain't a whole hell of a lot you can do. And that's what they were dealing with.
They're dealing with cascading issues. You know, you got the schizophrenia, but then you had drug abuse, you had alcohol abuse, you had nothing but abuses. And so you don't know really what you're looking at when you're looking at him at any one moment. Because what's in control of him and that brain at that moment? And, well,
and don't forget, too, it wasn't just like really hardcore drugs. It was meth. And meth just goes in and starts eating and rotting the brain. So you're dealing with a dysfunctional brain to start with. And then you throw meth on top of it. Holy cats.
It's just it's kind of amazing that he was actually able to function and walk most of the time. And then his effect that you see throughout the court and in all these other situations, you know, the amount of detox he might have been going through at any one moment as well, is going to affect everything. I mean, just that is just a very, very, I mean, I don't think you and I or us as a team have seen or witnessed someone that has been this broken brained. We've dealt with some nutters, but this is not a nutter. This is just a really severely broken-brained individual that I've never seen to this level. This is pretty profound.
I mean, it almost becomes like a zombie at some point.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but one of those zombie movies where the zombies, you know, kind of have a little bit of sensicalness to them. They're not just going for the brains alone. Sometimes they seem to have some sort of autonomy going on. But that's really what you're dealing with here. Right. I mean, if this had been an animal that was acting this erratically over and over and over, continuing to abuse and hurt others in the way that he did, because let's not sugarcoat this. He was abusive to the people around him through his addiction. He treated people like shit. It was abuse. If you take the word addiction out of there and you take mental illness out of there, it would have just been abuse.
Right.
He was a shitty human being to pretty much everybody he interacted with. And he can hide behind the addiction and he can hide behind the this and that. But in reality, even in the moments, in the times of recovery and the times of being in a better place, he was still a pretty much piece of shit to everyone that was around him. So you have that aspect to this. And again, animals, we would have put them down.
100%.
But with people, we're just like, well, let's just hope they don't bite anybody else.
And they do. They eventually end up biting and killing. So There you go. It's a great analogy. And I know in my veterinary career, we euthanized very healthy animals that portrayed horrific personality traits.
And look, and I'm not saying we need to put schizophrenic people down. So
no,
don't run me that way with this. But what I'm saying, what I'm saying is we have very little in terms of protections for people, for themselves or others. We have far more protections for pets than we do people when it comes to broken brains. And it makes little to no sense. Who's the crazy person in all of this? Is it us as a society that keeps living our lives on hope that things are going to get better when clearly they are incapable of getting better?
Yeah.
And then we just set them out like, let's take him to the holiday party and keep an eye on him. That's literally the solution that the Reiners had, because they didn't have many other options. The $70,000 a month wasn't keeping him safe. They were going through this transition, allegedly, of the meds. And even the doctor's like, yeah, this isn't going so well. And then the solution is, let's take him to the party.
You know, what's interesting with him in this case, what you haven't seen in any other cases we've covered, really, is I'm thinking about this, how I'm kind of making some defining definitions here. We typically deal with predators. And that's what, you know, we have dealt with on all these, most of our cases, is we're dealing with a predator that's gone and escalated to the extreme predatory behavior. He's not a predator, but he's extremely dangerous.
I don't know.
What I mean, but that's why I'm kind of struggling with this. So when we see a predator, we think of like a Koberger or anyone else. We see someone directing this unhealthy behavior in a direction. This guy was dangerous within a sphere of influence. And so if you came within that circle, you know, God help you, you know, but that's why if you could contain that circle, like in a good institution, you know, you're going to be a lot safer, you know, but predators, which are actually actively seeking victims, is what I'm thinking of when I'm thinking of predator. I didn't get the sense from looking at this. He was actively seeking victims. He was just so broken that his sphere around him was just extremely dangerous. It's like, he's like a caged animal is a good way to put it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think you can make the argument that addicts are predators in many ways. We look at it in a slightly different angle, and I think it's almost semantics at some point. I mean, it's a little different, but at the end of the day, they're going to be predatory to anyone and everything that's going to feed their addiction.
It doesn't
matter. So at the end of the day, if you're preyed upon, but because the precipice for that predation is their addiction, not just them being, you know, it's feeding something. So if you are a sexual predator and you're trying to feed your sexual addiction to whatever horrible type of shit you're into, that's predatory. Mm-hmm. But because when we start involving drugs and all of that into the thing and an addiction, suddenly it's not quite the same. We're supposed to handle this with, you know, with more kid gloves. I don't think we need to. I mean, at the end of the day, the consequences are the same. The results to the victims are the same. We're just going, oh, well, the addiction made you do it. And maybe it did. And maybe that's part of it. But that's the problem. It's still predatory behavior.
I think so. Yes. So the way I'm thinking of it is more of the, like the Koberger type is more targeted predatory. He's like, because he was a path of destruction with the people in his life, but he wasn't dangerous to them unless he actually targeted them like he did the girls. Mm-hmm. This guy, he's just extremely dangerous to everyone around because he's more of a target of opportunity. When you're dealing with addictions. So again,
aren't all predators predators? Aren't they all, you know, basically predators of opportunity?
That's why I haven't really thought about this type of thing in this way. Cause again, it's new. It's new for me to cover, you know, someone with schizophrenia. And this type
I'm not saying schizophrenics are predators. I'm saying addicts are predators.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Addicts are predators. And they will go and they will use that addiction for predatory behavior to feed that addiction. It may not be all the time they're doing it, but when they need to feed that, if you're in their way or you have the resource to what they need or want, boom, you will be the target of their predatory behavior.
As a target of opportunity.
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
And in our chat section, I'm sorry, Robin, didn't mean to interrupt, but you know, I don't want to start pointing fingers at mom and dad. You know, these 77 years old. I think they've been dealing with this their entire life. This is their child. You know, it's so easy to sit in Monday morning quarterback this, what they should have done. Again, like what Tony said, $70,000 a month, it still wasn't enough. I don't know what more we can do. Our society doesn't deal with mental illness properly.
They didn't have an option to keep him in.
Yeah.
That's the problem. He shouldn't have been out. I think that, I mean, that's the answer. Yeah. He shouldn't have been out.
Way too deep.
But when you don't have an option, when you don't have a modality to keep him in.
Correct.
This is what you get.
Here's what's really challenging with that. And here's why, like you said, I'm quadrupling down on how bad the system is. So here you've clinically diagnosed someone as schizophrenia, and he's under a psychiatrist care for medically working with this through chemicals. In order for that to be effective, he's got to be off of everything else. And they knew he was on other things through doing drugs. So why wouldn't you have the ability to isolate him so these other drugs could not interact with what they were giving him?
Because they have autonomy, and he would have to say, yes, go ahead, lock me up.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Yes, that's the problem.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that is the problem. It's not the amount of love that the Reiners gave him. It's not the amount of autonomy that the Reiners gave their son. They couldn't lock him up. I mean, short of them taking him into a padded room and throwing away the key in their own home, which also would have been illegal.
It wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, you can't do that.
We have been around addicts and seen addicts that I don't care how much you lock them up in your own home, unless they're behind bars in some sort or an institution or a rehab center, whatever it is that is going to be in complete control of every aspect of what they intake into their systems, they will find a way. And that's why the Reiners were, you know, if there was no option to lock them up somewhere, what do you do? I think they probably made what they thought was the best choice, but it endangered everyone around them.
You know, and they did. I mean, that's the reality of this. I mean, it's a hard reality, but it's, you know, they had been bamboozled by this kid. That's what also gets me about this. And maybe we don't know exactly what Rob and his wife's opinion was of the medical professionals in 2025. All we can do is go back to those. It was like 2017. It was several years ago when they made that movie and the statements that he made then of talking about that the people with diplomas on their walls, we were listening to them and we shouldn't have been. We should have been listening to our addict son, because they were saying that he was lying to us and that he was trying to confuse us and he was trying to manipulate us. He was.
He was.
And he did.
Exactly. And in those statements. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it fucking worked.
Yeah.
So that is the problem. The problem is everybody can recognize this. All of the healthy brains are saying this is the problem, but we don't have enough healthy brains to get enough people in agreement that we need to be able to lock these people up beyond their autonomy, beyond their signing the paper saying, yes, lock me up. These are the people who are least likely to want to be locked up. They're the least likely to want to get help because they don't think there's a problem.
You know what I'm really curious about, you know, as you're thinking about, again, I one of the greatest joys I have in life is trying to put myself in the shoes in all these different situations. And so I'm thinking to myself, here I am, if I was ever invited to a Conan O'Brien Christmas party, knowing what you know about the background, and everyone knew the background, and maybe even more people knew if TMZ now knows about the schizophrenia, probably other people did. Can you imagine opening the door and looking what was coming through and saying to yourself, what? I mean, I really wonder what kind of pushback anyone gave at that part. And again, I'm just curious. I'm not blaming. I'm just deeply curious whether someone pulled them aside and said, dude, you got to get your son out of here. What are you doing?
So, at what point do you say we can't make it to the party?
Like, well, here's the thing. After we did our live yesterday, I don't think it was live when we said it, but like, can you imagine being at that party and then hearing what happened? That he could have gone off at the party. He could have brought a weapon. They weren't scanning people at the door. Well, I don't know that, but I imagine they were
highly doubtful.
Go in the kitchen and grab a knife.
God, you're right.
I mean,
you're
there's
right.
so many things that could have gone horribly wrong here. But again, it's, you know, and again, I'm not blaming the family, but because they're seeing it from their prism, and their prism, unfortunately, has some rosy colored glasses that's going on here. Yeah. Seeing it for the potential disaster that it could be. He's bad. He's doing this. He broke the TV and the lamps and destroyed the house and has ruined our life and has sucked our money and has sucked our emotion and has sucked our attention away from the other family members in this ecosystem. But he's not quite that bad.
But you know the problem, you know, and everyone keeps saying, you know, about the party. Why did they go?
Yeah.
Well, again, it's that thinking.
It's not quite that bad. Maybe being around all these people that he grew up around will give him some happiness, give him some light. Maybe it'll inspire him to get better. I mean, look, Rob Reiner was a very positive, glass half full thinking person. I would say he was a person who saw the glass as full even when it was half full. That's the type of guy he was. And it's not an indictment on his character. It's great that there's human beings out there like that. But sometimes they're also incapable of seeing the train as it's barreling down the tracks at you, where one's going, holy shit, that fucking train's gonna kill you, and he's like, choo-choo.
It was just a really bad choice to go to that party.
Yes. It was a bad choice to have the kid in your house.
Yes, and it was a bad choice to open the door and say, yeah, come on in.
But it's not an indictment on the bad choices. It's an indictment on a system that gave them no other choice.
I'm with you. That's the thing.
But again, I can't imagine being in their position. If my child was there, I'm not going to be super comfortable on, hey, you know, go to the Skid Row and good luck. Even though they did that several times, that clearly didn't work either. But at some point, you have to go and say, my life, you're not going to take from me. I know I gave you life, but you do not have the right to come and take mine from me because you can't get your shit together enough. He was given every damn resource that possibly existed, and he made an active choice not to participate in his recovery, and this is what happened. And we have a system that does not mandate participation.
Yep.
When everyone else is screaming, this is the only option for them. That's the problem.
It is a problem.
God.
So many questions. We're learning more and more about this case, and we will continue to. But I think this is kind of a preview of the direction that it's going to be steered. Alan Jackson, I'm sure, you know, he's doing his job as a defense attorney, and we're going to learn more pieces here, and we're going to have little things, you know, put out there into the ether to try and steer sympathy the way of Nick Reiner. And I'm sorry, I'm going to say fuck that. I'm not going to have any sympathy for him. I'm just not. This guy was given too many fucking chances.
Yep.
You can't just throw it into one bucket and say, oh, poor Nick. That's what made Nick who he is today, is that type of thinking. And now it's time to face the consequences. And if that means it won't happen in California, even though it is a death penalty state, if that means a death sentence, then that means a fucking death sentence. Good riddance. The world will be better without you.
And it'll be interesting watching him go down the road of trying to go insanity as well, because that is a very hard road these days to go down claiming insanity as a defense. I mean, it's very rare to say. But yeah, he made all these choices. That's why, you know, anyone who reads any John Douglas's book, you know, the father of profiling in the FBI all those years ago, he is all about that choice, you know. And because when you start excusing people's choices, you now are victim blaming. You're saying it was all because, you know, and you lose fact of the fact that the victims are the ones that are really being penalized. So you're giving too much credence to the and grace to the perpetrator of evil.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, it's we have to look at this for what it is. It's predatory behavior. It's always been predatory behavior. You get some mental illness mixed in there, sure. You get the addiction mixed in there. You get all that going on, and this is what you have. And this is the cocktail that makes what it made.
And your thoughts? I'm so sorry, Tony, but I want to point out so many people have been in our comment section sharing their personal stories that they have this family member in their home.
Yeah.
It's resonating hugely right now.
Yeah. Because their hands are tied.
Yes.
And we have a society that doesn't, that, that seems to have the answers, but never seems to actually have the experience of dealing with these types of people. The people who want to give these answers have zero experience in it. Oh, this is how it should be done. Yes, in a perfect world, it should. It's not. So let's deal with reality on reality's terms. Thank you very much.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.